or with the topic of the death of Christ, although I specifically asked for songs that mention Barabbas, and he didn't come through for me. I don't understand that. We'll have to try again next time. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, is specifically in the story of the crucifixion of Christ, Barabbas. Why Barabbas? Where did he come from? Why did they choose him? What was the significance of Barabbas in this story? And I'd like to begin by reading the four accounts of this, starting with Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 through 26 is our first reading. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. All right, now let's turn to Mark chapter 15. Verses 6 through 15. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. All right, and now we'll look at Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 13 through 25. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city, and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. And then finally, a shorter passage in John chapter 18, beginning the last part of verse 38. After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews, this is talking about Pilate, and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So, who was Barabbas? Why were they so interested in him? Well, obviously Barabbas was a prisoner. Why was he in prison? Well, we see that he's a notorious criminal. He was a rebel, a murderer, committed murder during an insurrection, no less. And then John points out that he was also a robber. Not many redeeming qualities for this man. So why was he chosen over Jesus? Well, I'd like to look at the characters in this story, the ones that were involved in this decision, and see what we can glean from their point of view. First of all, I'd like to look at Pilate. Now, who was Pilate? Well, we know that he was a Roman governor of Jerusalem, and he was also a Gentile. We see in John chapter 18 and verse 28 that the Jews would not even go into his quarters because they did not want to defile themselves for the feast. But he was the governor, and he was responsible for keeping the peace and for preventing insurrection and riot. And so Pilate's first concern would be ensuring that Caesar had no reason to be concerned about what was happening in Jerusalem. And that would be his first concern. He would have no concern about Jewish laws and customs. He didn't care about those, and history tells us that he did things that showed he did not care about Jewish laws and customs. In fact, the Jews did not seem to like him very much because of some of the things that he had done in the city. So, why did this governor choose Pilate over Barabbas, or rather allow Barabbas to be chosen? Well, Pilate saw no fault in Jesus. We saw that in John 18:38. And he knows that the Jewish leaders have brought him for improper motives. He says that he knew that it was for envy that he brought him. They brought him. And his wife had even warned him not to have anything to do with Jesus, to leave Jesus alone. So he had everything going for Jesus with respect to Pilate. Pilate had every reason to just release him. And in fact, he wanted to release him. We see in Mark chapter 15 and Luke 23, he wanted to release him. And the fact that he even asked the crowd whether they want to release Jesus or Barabbas seems to be a ploy to thwart the Jews' plans. He knows that the Jews have done this for envy. And so, let the people decide. He was confident that the people would choose Jesus, who was called Christ. So why did he choose Barabbas in the end? Why did he allow Barabbas to be chosen? Well, he was afraid of the people. We've seen that in our readings here. In Matthew 27 and Mark 15, every time he wanted to release Jesus, the crowd grew louder. They cried louder, and he was afraid a riot would ensue. And so in Mark 15, says Pilate wants to satisfy them. If the mob had gotten out of hand, Pilate might have had to answer to Rome. And we see a parallel to this if we look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 40, a similar situation with the riot in Ephesus. And beginning in verse 35, and when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know what the city of the Ephesians, that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash. For if you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess, if therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open. And there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly, for we really are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. This would have been in Pilate's mind as he viewed the crowd and as he listened to them and as he saw the frenzy that was gaining in his city of Jerusalem. And so he was afraid of the crowd, and he released Barabbas to them as they demanded. All right, well, that is Pilate's point of view. What about the people? The people that were so anxious to have Barabbas released. Who were they? And why did they want Barabbas to be released? Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke simply calls them the crowd. Why was there a crowd? And I'll just mention that John is unclear as to whether there was a crowd there or not, but we can tell from Matthew, Mark, and Luke that certainly there was. Why was there a crowd there? Well, we know it was the feast. Excuse me, it was the feast. It was the feast of the Passover. People, Jews from all over, would be there in Jerusalem to observe the feast of the Passover. And so this plays into Pilate's fears. This is the perfect time for there to be a riot, for there to be some sort of insurrection, and for trouble to brew against the Roman government, because all the Jews would be in one place at one time, all in a religious fervor as they celebrated this high holy time of the Jews. So we have the crowd. That's who they were. Why did they choose Barabbas? Well, Matthew and Mark make it clear that they chose Barabbas because they were told to. The Jewish leaders, it says, stirred up the people to choose Barabbas over Jesus, to destroy Jesus. Why did the crowd listen to them? Is the question we need to ask. And we see that this is quite an about face for this same crowd. If we look at Matthew 21, things were very different just a few chapters earlier. In fact, this, in my Bible, this section is entitled The Triumphal Entry. And I'll read Matthew 21, verses 7 through 11. It says, they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Talking about Jesus. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This crowd here for observing the feast is shouting Hosanna to Jesus, a shout of adulation, recognizing Jesus as some sort of Savior, spreading coats and palm branches in the road before him, honoring Jesus as he makes his way into the city of Jerusalem. And why did this crowd assemble? Well, look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, John makes it plain why they were all there. Starting in verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. They had heard about Jesus. They had heard what he had done, that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And so they came to meet him and to honor him as he entered the city. Look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 48. Beginning in verse 47. And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. Does this sound like a crowd of people that would choose Barabbas over Jesus? choose to destroy Jesus? Look at chapter 20 and verse 38. I think I have the right. Oh, maybe it's chapter 19. I'm sorry. No? What'd you say? Well, the passage I'm looking for is where he says, where it says that, where he says that early in the morning. What's that? 21:38. Okay, thank you. 21:38. And every day, beginning in verse 37, every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Every day, early in the morning, they were eager to hear what Jesus had to say. This crowd of people here to worship God, here to observe the Passover, and now they are crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." What did the chief priests and the elders say to make them turn 180 degrees against Jesus? Well, the answer to that question is, we don't know. We have no clue what they said. But there are some things that we can consider. Think about what's happened to Jesus up until this point. He has been captured. He has been tried. All of his disciples have scattered from him. He is alone. And all this was done by these same leaders, these same Jews and the scribes, I'm sorry, the chief priests and the elders. And so you might think, well, maybe they were afraid. Maybe they were afraid of these leaders that had brought Jesus so low. Maybe they thought, we better do what they tell us to do. They are our leaders after all. If they don't want Jesus, they have been able to bring him to trial and bring him to Pilate, then perhaps there's something wrong with Jesus that we don't see. And so we will do what they say. All right, well, that's speculation. But obviously, what we can say is that the Jewish leaders did have influence over this crowd, the same crowd that was so eager to listen to Jesus' teaching and to follow him. So who are these Jewish leaders? Well, we know that they're, it says they're the chief priests and the elders, the spiritual leaders of the people. They are the ones responsible for Jesus' arrest and middle-of-the-night trial. We know from Luke chapter 19, we just read in verse 47 and 48, that they had been looking for a way to destroy him. It says the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they had not been able to find a way because of the people that they have now turned against him. So why did they choose Barabbas? Well, obviously because, you know, we just talked about how they've been looking for an opportunity. They did not like Jesus. They did not want Jesus. They wanted him gone. There's something about Jesus that they did not want around. And in John chapter 18, they make it clear. Let's look back at John 18 and verse 31. They make it clear that Pilate is the only one that they can go to make this happen for them. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 29. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Just do it, Pilate. We don't need to explain ourselves to you. And Pilate said to them, "Well, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. And so they needed to get rid of Jesus. They had decided that this was going to happen. They were going to make this happen. And they needed Pilate to do it for them. So Pilate throws a wrench into the works and says, well, you want Barabbas or Jesus? I'll let you decide. So they persuade the people to choose Barabbas. Well, it's obvious that the Jewish leaders did not want Jesus because they were afraid of Jesus. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 19. Once again, at the triumphal entry. Look at what it says at the end. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. So they're going after Jesus. What does that mean for them? They're the leaders. They're the ones that people come to for wisdom and for instruction in righteousness. No, they're going after Jesus now. They didn't like that. They were afraid of his teaching. They were afraid of his discipleship. They were afraid to accept him as Messiah because that would mean they would have to change. Things would have to change. Things would be different. They would no longer be the ones in charge. So, if you think about it, actually, nobody really chose Barabbas, did they? Barabbas was just there. The right place at the right time. Pilate did what he thought would calm the people. He didn't really want Barabbas to go free. Barabbas was an insurrectionist, after all. The people did what they thought their leaders wanted. They didn't really care about Barabbas. And the leaders simply did not want Jesus. They wanted him to go away. They didn't really want Barabbas. So because nobody wanted Jesus, Barabbas was selected. An infamous, rebellious murderer and robber was let go in place of Jesus. Barabbas had nothing that anybody actually wanted. Jesus was simply not an option. So, how do they come to this conclusion? How is this decision reached? I wasn't sure where I was going to go with this lesson once I got to this point. And then a friend of mine on Facebook, of all places, wrote something in a reply to a comment that I made. And I thought it fit this very well. He said, the trick is to recognize how much of our decision making is done by the self for its benefit, rather than by the mind for the benefit of truth. There is a lot more of that going on in me than I ever dreamed 30 years ago. And I thought that was a very wise thing to say, very wise thing to recognize. And if you understand what he's saying sometimes we don't think about what is truth before we make a decision. Sometimes we think, well, what's good for me before we make a decision? Pilate thought, what's good for me? The people thought, well, what's good for me? The Jewish leaders thought, well, what's good for me? They weren't concerned about truth, except for Pilate. Look at John chapter 18. Pilate was, to some extent, concerned about truth. John 18, verses 33 and following. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? What is truth? Well, what was his answer? If you keep reading, he says, after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. That was the truth that he found after examining Jesus. That was the truth that should have driven his decision as to whether or not to let Jesus go. That's why he wanted to let Jesus go. So why didn't he? Because he was more concerned about what was good for him and not about what was truth. Pilate said, I can't allow this to turn into a riot. I must maintain control. The people said, we must follow the will of our leaders. The Jewish leader said, we must not allow Jesus to take control. Everyone was trying to keep control of their own little world and make sure that nothing bad happened to them. That was the issue. Control. Control over their lives, control over their traditions, control over their rule. Jesus had something to say about that in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. And then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, the point Jesus is trying to make is, you are not in control. God is in control. And the more you try to keep control of your life, of your situation, of your power, the further from true life you will go. And so it is up to us to relinquish that control. If we don't do that, then we are enslaving ourselves. What sets us free? John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews in verse 31, who had believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set us free. How do we get truth? We abide in his word. We don't think about it ourselves and observe things and search out truth on our own. Jesus has given us the word, and that is truth. We have to give up control of ourselves and give control to Jesus. Pilate knew the truth. He sought to release Jesus. The people knew the truth. They came to the temple every day, early in the morning, to hear Jesus speak the words of truth. The Jews knew the truth because every time they posed a question to him, and he posed a question right back, they could not answer him. They knew that Jesus had the truth, but they all chose to walk in darkness. They did not choose Barabbas. They rejected Jesus, and they rejected the truth. And this is what happens when we reject the truth. Continuing to read in John chapter 8. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." When we reject the truth of Christ, there is only one alternative, and that is to become slaves to sin. Go ahead and take out your cell phones. Jesus loves me. Yes, he does. And he wants to set you free. He wants you to accept the truth, his word, and live according to it. But you could be a slave to sin sitting here tonight. Why are you here tonight? Are you here because you've surrendered your life to Christ? Because you've chosen to pursue truth and to live by it? To make all your decisions based on truth rather than how can I keep control of myself and my life? What's good for me? Or are you here because this is what's comfortable? This is where you feel in control of your life spiritually. This is where you just feel like you're supposed to be. Why are you here tonight? Jesus says you must lose your life. You must relinquish control in order to find it, in order to find your life. Are you ready to surrender your life to Jesus tonight and abide in his word? If so, come forward as we stand and sing. Jesus loves you.